It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we've been looking through the book of Ruth, we found several things that's taken place here. Ruth has found a redeemer. She's found Boaz. But as we discovered last time, there is someone else that's coming along. We really haven't gotten into this yet, but what we saw last time is that God will protect us. And you know, Boaz was a protector of Ruth, as we've studied in chapter 3 up to this point, up to verse 12. But we also understand that God will stand up for us. He is our near kinsman. He's the one who redeems us. He redeemed us from the curse of sin. How? By His blood. We are made whole, and one of these days we'll see Him personally because we've trusted Him as our Savior. As we continue now in our study of the book of Ruth, and of course we want to start reading, starting out here with verse 12 of chapter 3. It says, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." Well, in other words, don't give up. Just understand that things will be all right. And this is Boaz speaking to Ruth now. He's letting her know things will be all right. We see that redemption is promised. One way or the other, redemption will take place, Boaz is saying. See, Boaz promised Ruth that she would be redeemed one way or the other. And Boaz not only makes a promise of redemption to Ruth, he also vows to the Lord that he will see to it that she is redeemed. He says in that verse, "As the Lord liveth." Well, Jesus also made promises. In John chapter 17 and verse 2, it says, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh," this is Jesus speaking, "as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And of course, once again, this is Jesus talking to the Heavenly Father. And this is actually what many people don't understand. This is the Lord's Prayer, and he's praying to the Father. We see, starting in verse 9 again in John chapter 17, down through verse 11, that Jesus said this, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Well, Jesus goes on and he prays in this prayer. And he talks about, in John 17, he says, "I don't pray for these only, Father." And he's speaking of the apostles here. He says, "I pray for all those who will believe on me through their word." He prays for the apostles, and he said afterwards, this is something that he says, "I pray for the ones who are going to believe on me through the apostles' word." We have the words of the apostles today in the scriptures. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharp and two-edged sword. It's there for us. It helps us. And all of those who will be saved after the Lord's Prayer, even he says, "I'm praying for them as well, not only the apostles. Take care of them." As we see this all through the book of Ruth, how that God is leading Ruth and Naomi along, and he's also leading Boaz now, because Boaz makes this promise. He says, "One way or another, you're going to be redeemed." And God says, "There's one way that you're going to be redeemed, and that's through my Son, Jesus Christ." We come to a saving knowledge by trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is our Redeemer. Well, in our chapter that we're looking at, in chapter 3 of Ruth, we've read verse 13, and we see Boaz now tells Ruth to rest until the morning, according to verse 13. Well, also in Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5, It says this, "For his anger endureth but a moment, but his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Well, God says, you may be going through a rough time right now, my child. That saved person today that's listening, you may be going through a rough time. But remember this, that joy comes in the morning. There is coming a brighter time. There is coming a time when things are going to be a lot better. We need to hold on to that truth this morning, this day, this afternoon, tonight, wherever you're at and whatever time you're listening. You need to hold on to the fact that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. A brighter day is coming. We move on now into verse 14 of Ruth chapter 3, and we see her obedience brings blessing. We see that Boaz told Ruth, he says, "Now, take it easy and stay here, and don't get so excited that you get upset and discouraged." Now, that's my words. That's the way I read the verse that he's telling her, just take it easy. In verse 14, it says, and she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. He was protecting her testimony here. We see the morning came, and Ruth had laid. She rested at the feet of Boaz and waited until the morning. Well, after telling Ruth not to fear in verse 11, the next thing Boaz says is for her to remain resting for the night in verse 13. And we see here the rest. She had to rest on the threshing floor, knowing that Boaz would look after her. In other words, she was protected. Well, the picture couldn't be any clearer for us. Testing and trials will come for the refining of our faith. But what the Lord is after is that attitude which places the problem at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, remaining restful in the midst of the trial. Remember that it's Jesus who gives the victory. In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 17, it says, "And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him." Well, in Isaiah 30:18, it says this, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him." We see Isaiah goes on to say in chapter 40 and verse 31, he continues on here, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And we go to the New Testament, and finally in James chapter 5 and verse 7, God says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." You know, God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to redemption. Well, that means that God has waited for you, dear person. Today, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, he's waiting for you. He's long-suffering. He's waiting for you to call upon the name of Jesus. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you living in this life of despair. He doesn't want you to go through the life that you're living in despair. He wants you to have hope, and that hope lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. A safe person, you can trust in the Lord today that he's going to take care of you. Remember, if you're going through a difficult time of trial, joy comes in the morning. God's going to take care of you. Well, we keep reading here, and in this verse, chapter 3 and verse 14, and we also notice something about that verse. Now, let me read it again. "And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another." Well, notice here, Ruth left the threshing floor early before she or Boaz could give in to temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, Then notice this now, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Luke chapter 11, verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We keep reading that God is able to deliver us from any temptation. And this is what took place in Boaz and Ruth's life here. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 40, it says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. This is Jesus praying. And he was telling these people this. And there is no temptation taken us, you see, such as is common to man. It's common to man. Temptation is common. And no temptation comes into our life that Jesus wasn't tempted with. And we see, and we may be thinking that we're going through a temptation that is quite different from anyone else. But God says, no matter what that temptation is, I'm able to deliver you from that. Now remember, the temptation is not the sin. It's giving into that temptation. That's the sin. Mark chapter 14, verse 38 says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. We can't depend upon the flesh to make the right decision. We have to depend upon the Spirit of God as saved people to lead us and guide us and help us to make right decisions concerning our life. Well, we keep reading and looking at the verse in verse 14, and we see that Boaz was careful to protect his and Ruth's reputation. He says, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. We see there's a biblical principle involved here. It says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Romans chapter 14, verse 16 says that. And 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And we go on and we keep reading here in verse 15 of the book of Ruth. And it goes on to say, also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. We see the veil here. Ruth brought her veil to Boaz and filled it with 6 measures of barley. And we've seen this before, and we've seen how that she took barley and she left, and we see more about the barley in verse 17 as we read that. And of course, in verse 16, it says, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? This is Naomi, knew who Ruth was. This is Naomi asking her this. Well, she knew who Ruth was, but she wanted to know what took place that night. And that's what she's saying here. She wanted to know what took place. And Ruth told her, according to verse 16, what had taken place. It says, and she told her all that the man had done to her. We see here an interested mother-in-law. Naomi's question is not one of doubt, but one of wonder as to what happened. Well, Ruth tells Naomi everything that had taken place. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Why not call upon Him today and say, Lord, come into my heart. I'm sorry for sin. I'm sorry that I'm not saved at this point, but I want to be saved now. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. Saved person, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.